And so I want you to hear Nathan's testimony this morning. And so please welcome Nathan and Jessica.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you. Is this quite on?
Yes, it is.
All right, great. Yeah, I thought about getting up here and being like, good morning and welcome to Trinity's Church. So glad to see all of you here. Because every time I'm handed one of these, it's for doing announcements. And so I'm sort of the announcement guy at Trinity Church. So when I'm at youth group, don't need a lapel or anything like that. And when I preach, you know. But yes, we have been well fed. I don't have it yet, but I will definitely get the Baptist belly if I stay here. So yes, well, hospitality is alive and well here. Until that windstorm blew in yesterday. Woo! That was rowdy. That gave me a true taste of Ridgecrest. But honestly, if you're in New Orleans, it's going to be a hurricane. Midwest, it's going to be a tornado. Wherever you go, you're going to have Mother Nature. But I've been trying, since I graduated from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary with my Master's of Arts in Christian Education with a specialty in youth ministry. I know it's a huge title. But I've kind of taken upon myself sort of an Abrahamic mentality of I'm going to go to a land until God tells me to stop and set up a family. So I hope the land is here. I mean, I have really, truly enjoyed meeting all of you who I have met. I look forward to meeting, you know, as many of you as I can today. But yes, my journey so far, I guess I'll talk about that, has been being born in Kearney, Nebraska. The implication is I was Lutheran. So my family was Lutheran. My mom was Lutheran. My dad was Methodist. We became we adopted Lutheran. The Lutheran Church is our family church until I was about 12. When I was 2, we moved from Kearney, Nebraska down to Mandeville, Louisiana, which is on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans. I lived there in one house with my two older sisters and younger brother my entire life. I can remember being raised in a Christian home. My grandparents were Christian. I have very much the heritage of those that fear the Lord. I can trace a pastoral lineage 11 generations back from me. And so I have a beautiful testimony of having that. I've been blessed with that heritage, and I don't take it lightly for a moment. So I have there's a lot of everyone in my family's looking at me because I'm the next preacher. So, but I've been called to youth ministry very exclusively. God is sovereign. He can choose to prompt my heart wherever he feels led. But I personally feel like I want to be in youth ministry as long as I can. So that's what I'm going to go with. When I was Lutheran, I remember going to my particular church and feeling very much like I was part of a religion. You can choose any religion. You can be Buddhist. You can be Shinto. You can be Christian. But the relationship with Jesus Christ is what makes our Christianity, our religion different. It's what makes ours unique, the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, the sovereign God and our Savior and His Son, Jesus Christ. So, but I remember being a Lutheran and going to church and standing up, sitting down, pastor says something, he says something, I say something, you stand up, turn around, stand up, turn around, sit down. It's sort of a spiritual hokey pokey. It's just, that's what it felt like. I'm not coming down on the Lutheran church. I won't ever do that with denominations, but this particular church was very liturgical and religious. There was not a relationship. There wasn't that personal attitude about it. So I told my parents in sort of a 12-year-old version that I wasn't feeling like this was something I wanted to be part of. And they, strangely enough, were feeling the same way. And so we began searching for a church, and we found a Trinity church that I'm currently at. And I think it was just the fact that we were instantly greeted. There were small groups. There was very much kind of like what you have here. I've been amazed with how well you cater to the different generations, but then at the same time have all ages working, and it's a family. And that's what I got at Trinity. I began to be introduced to the idea that Christianity is about a belief in particular things. Yes, you have to believe God, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, all that doctrine, but it went deeper, it went personal, and I began to find a love for Christ personally. Not my parents' faith, my faith. And my family did this whole transition into Trinity. I plugged into the youth group because the Lutheran church I was at didn't really have a youth group. when I found out that the youth groups exist, I went to four different ones in the neighborhood. There was one at this church that had like 300 youth, so that was like mob ministry. I just kind of got swallowed by that like huge thing. Then there was a smaller church, so I just remember really plugging into youth ministry. So I have been in youth ministry and been involved as a participant in four different youth groups. When I graduated high school, I turned back around and went on multiple student life trips with my church, mission trips. I've really just sort of, it's been a steady progression towards becoming a youth pastor. That same progression towards me becoming a minister has mirrored my relationship with Jesus Christ. Being raised in a Christian home, I didn't have that like not knowing Christ and then finally finding, say, the fireworks, that moment of like, I didn't have to go down every road and get to a bunch of rock bottoms before I finally chose the right rock, the right Savior, the right fortress. So, but my salvation is sort of like the rising of the sun. When the sun rises, is there any distinct moment? The sun outdoors, I mean, a beautiful sunrise sort of just gradually comes upon you before, and then the grace and glory and majesty of the sun in your life becomes undeniably clear. In my case, it was both. It was the analogy of the sun and the sun, you know. So that's the analogy I use for my salvation story, is that it slowly became more and more apparent that I was called to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of my personal gifts and abilities, that was going to be youth ministry. So it doesn't matter if you become a firefighter, a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, it's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ that counts. So mine has been just unique enough that my relationship actually put me in the vocation of ministry. So that is sort of my testimony in a nutshell. I was a little nervous. How do I explain 28 years of a relationship with Jesus Christ in 5 minutes. But I hope that does its justice. If you have any questions for me personally, I'll certainly field those. And I look forward to the rest of this day.
And that will happen at 5 o'clock this evening.
Yes, there's 5 o'clock this evening.
There's going to be a Q&A in the multipurpose room, and you are all invited to participate in that. They met with youth and parents yesterday morning, and so we have that Q&A for the church this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we will be voting on Nathan next Sunday. This is a pastoral position, so our bylaws require that this be a church vote. So if you're not here next weekend, you can vote by absentee, and there will be ballots in the office starting tomorrow that you can pick up and vote. All right? And Jessica is just to stand up here this morning and be a pretty face, but I'm sure you'll be hearing more from her this afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Yes, okay? So we can get into how we met and being she's a Jersey girl and I'm a Nebraska guy. And yeah, there's a crazy funny story, so we'll get to that.
But we want to pray for them this morning, all right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for Nathan and Jessica, and feeling very much like Abraham, coming out to California to a desert, Lord, an isolated desert, and not knowing what was before them. And Lord, they're just wanting to do your will. And so I thank you for their willingness to be available. I thank you for the search committee and their diligence and coming across Nathan and Jessica and just being affirmed that, Lord, these are who they believe, God, you're leading to our church. So continue to give us wisdom and unity of thought, both to Nathan and Jessica and to Emmanuel Baptist in the days ahead. But thank you for the time that we've shared together this weekend, and we look forward to the possibilities of years of ministry together. But thank you for this time that we've shared in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. Well, yeah, we went bowling last night, and yours truly went bowling. I sat through a couple games, and I thought to myself, you know, I think I can do that. It's been about 10 years since I bowled, and I bowled, and I hurt my wrist yesterday. I hurt my wrist so bad that I can't pick up a cup of coffee to drink it with my... Now, that's really bad when you can't drink coffee with your right hand. But not only did I experience that, but it was the first time that I had bowled with bifocals on. That is really hard. I mean, you got to keep your head really still to see those lines on the lane. So, yes, I was humbled yesterday, and I only bowled one game. That was it. I better quit while I'm ahead. All right. Well, this morning, the message isn't going to be long, but I have two videos. And because we're in a different location and we didn't do a sound check prior to the service, we've got the speakers in the chapel. And I'm hoping that you're going to hear these videos this morning because they're special. We want to honor mothers. As I was preparing this message this week, I came across a resource and an email from MOPS International. That's our Mothers of Preschool Ministry. And it was sent to pastors. And in this email, there were some videos that I thought, you know what, we need to share with moms this morning. So we want to honor moms this morning. And our passage of Scripture is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And God said this to Moses. God said, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Honor your mother. This is the only commandment that includes a promise. That when we honor our mother and our father, there's a promise. God says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God wants us to bless our mothers. And God knew that our mothers needed to be honored. God knew what they needed. That they needed to be appreciated. That they needed to know that what they're doing is important. So important that He made it one of the Ten Commandments. And I am so grateful that we honor mothers through Mother's Day as a nation. Because God knew that they needed to know that they are significant. And you know, when we honor our mothers, church, Christian, not only are we conveying to them how significant they are, but it's also giving us an attitude of gratitude as we express our appreciation and love for all that they've done. And so that's what we want to do this morning through this message. We want to give them the gift of encouragement, of significance, of self-worth, of importance. And so, how do we honor our mothers? I want to share with you three things this morning as to how you can honor your mother. Number one, give them the gift of acceptance. Of acceptance. Accept them for who they are. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, well, Pastor Bill, I didn't choose my mother. You know, how can I accept them? That's right. You didn't choose them, and they didn't choose you. God, in His sovereignty, knew exactly who you needed. And God gave you the mother that you have today. And what you could do first in honoring them is accepting them for who they are. Now, you know and I know that our moms aren't perfect. You aren't perfect. We all make mistakes. But in all those imperfections, God knew all those imperfections. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were at our best. He died for us when we were at our worst. He loves us. God wants us to honor our parents, our mothers, in accepting them. Accept their warts and all. Maybe you're here this morning, you might be thinking, well, Pastor Bill, you don't know my mother. You know, when it comes to guilt trips, she's a frequent flyer. Or that she has more hang-ups than the phone company. That's okay. We need to accept them. And that doesn't mean that we approve of the mistakes that they've made. There's some things that have really hurt you deeply. But in accepting them, God wants to bring you to a point where you forgive them, forgive her, rather than holding things against her. So that's number one. Accept who she is. God knew exactly who you needed. And she is God's gift to you. He wants us to accept them. The second way we show honor our mother is this. Through the gift of affirmation. Through the gift of affirmation. You know what? Mothers can be really hard on themselves, can't they? Can't you? You know, you are well aware of all your imperfections. You know the mistakes that you make. And we have a tendency, or you have a tendency, of being your own worst critic. I want to encourage you, moms, this morning to stop it. And as their children, we need to affirm who they are as mothers to us. Moms, you have a daunting task. Your job never ends. Your family, you guys go on vacation. There's no vacations for mom. They keep working hard. Moms, you're doing a great job. And you may not think they notice, but they do notice. And I think we all need to give our moms the gift of affirmation today. You know, when you go to lunch or you're in the living room at the house or whatever, pause and verbally take the time to say thank you for all that you are doing, have done for this family. If your mom lives a great distance away, take the time, son or daughter, pastor, with your mom on the phone, and let her know what she means to you and little things that she's done through the years. I can think of some things that my mom has done that only a mom could have done, because she had an unconditional love for her son. I need to tell her thank you this afternoon, and that I love her. So, maybe your mom is elderly, and maybe she's thinking, you know, what good is she still? You know, why does God still have her around? What is her purpose? You need to encourage her today. You need to let her know that God is using her, that God continues to have a plan, and God is using her to make you a better person. I mean, you're taking the time to meet her needs now. Here she has spent all these years meeting your needs, and now you, maybe in many ways, are the mother to her. And you need that. It keeps you from being self-centered, self-focused, and focusing on somebody else. God's using her in your life. Maybe in affirming her is listening to her advice. Moms are good at advice, aren't they? And sometimes we don't take that advice seriously. And that doesn't mean you need to follow their advice, but you need to take time to hear what she has to say and appreciate what she has to say. Because there's going to be a day when she's not going to be around. And you're going to wish that you could have had, could continue to have that conversation with her. Affirm her. Telling her who she is. Listening to the advice that she has to give. So accept them. Affirm them. And then number three, in honoring them, her, is giving her the gift of appreciation. Mom, you are awesome. You are awesome. And you have an impossible job. And the job that you do, God doesn't want you to do in the flesh. He wants you to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the strength to sing the song when it gets hard. Jesus loves you very much. And he knows how important moms are. His mom was important to him. And he took the time to honor his mother, to care for his mother when he was hanging from the cross for your sin and my sin and his mother's sin. When he was in pain, he wasn't thinking about himself. The Bible says he was thinking about his mother. And he was concerned about who was going to take care of her when he was gone. And he assigned that task to the disciple John. That is a great example for all of us, church. We need to be watching over our mothers and thanking them and appreciating them and affirming them for who they are. God says this is important. And to do this, and life will go well for you. So have you accepted them? Do you have a mother where there is some tension today? And there is some distance, and there is emotional distance? This morning, through this message, God is conveying to all of us this morning, let her off the hook. Learn to forgive. Take the time to let her know of all the little things that you've taken for granted. Apologize. Tell her thank you. And again, you can't do that in the flesh. You can only do that in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where you got to start. You got to surrender to him. Like the disciples last week, you know, with the idea of forgiveness. Give us more faith, Jesus. Well, that's where it starts. Placing your faith in Christ. Telling him, God, I can't do this, but I know this morning I need to do this through you. And he will help you. He will give you the strength. And when you hang up this morning, I promise you, you're going to be so glad that you did. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to say thank you first and foremost for accepting each and every one of us. Your word clearly says that we didn't choose you, but you chose us. And I pray if there's one here this morning who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation. That, like Nathan talked about the sunrise, Lord, it would dawn on them that they need you. And Jesus, you died for them. Father, I thank you for the mothers, all the mothers in this room, and all the mothers that people in this room are associated with this morning. God, may we do due diligence in truly honoring them for all they have meant to us. Help us to take that opportunity. And thank you for this day. Father, as a church, as we're here this morning, not only are we to be thankful for our mothers because you command it, but Father, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the cross, the wonderful cross. Because, Jesus, you died for us, you forgave us of our sin, you've brought us into relationship with you, you help us. You help us to do the impossible, the difficult, if we lean on you. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, this morning, as we sing the wonderful cross, Lord, we can just be amazed at your amazing grace in our life. And because we're overwhelmed with that grace, Lord, we want to be better people because of all, Jesus, that you've done for us. And so this morning, we worship as we sing the wonderful cross.